Begin today's Shirim Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom with the word Omar Rove. Before we begin today's Shir, we must review that the ingredients for tzitzis, as we know, is Lavan and Tcheles. Two chutim of Lavan, two chutim of Tcheles. And they are placed into the konaf of the tzitzis, into the corner of the tzitzis, and then constructed into tzitzis. Before we proceed to discuss the construction of the tzitzis itself, as we are going to do in today's Gemara, we must understand that the tzitzis itself is composed of two parts. First is the upper part, close to the konaf, where we find the coiled and the knotted section, consisting of chulius and keshorim. Chulius are the joints, the vertebrae, the links, which are created by winding a string in a horizontal fashion around the vertical strings. And then you tie the knots. And there's a section of that, and that's all called gedil. It's related to the word that the Torah uses to describe tzitzis, gedilim tasalacha. And then there's the section of the free-falling tzitzis, that's called tzitzis, otherwise referred to as onof, also by the Rishonim, like the branches coming out of this gedil, this growth, like that's the trunk, and these are the branches coming out. Of course, it's an upside-down tree, because here the gedil is the upper part, the trunk is the upper part, and the tree's branches are down below. And sometimes those tzitzis are called also psil, in relation to the word psil techeles. So you have gedil and you have psil. Now the Gemara says over here, Amar Rava, Shema Mina. From the Gemara that we learned yesterday towards the end of the Shir, we can infer that Sorich Likshah Kol Chulya V'Chulya, that at every link, at every vertebrae, after every joint of the gedil, you have to make a kesha. There's a certain number of chulios, and that's, as we're going to learn later in the Gemara, and Rava says that after every chulio, you're going to have to make a kesha. The Isal Kedai Techlotzor, because if you would say that you don't have to make a kesha after every chulio, but you only make a kesha to end, to conclude the section called gedil. In other words, you'll wind around strings all the way down from the konaf, begin with the konaf, and go all the way down to the point where the gedil ends, and then make one kesha at the bottom. If you say lo tzorich, you don't have to make a kesher at every juncture, at the end of every chulya, then hoda amru b'nei Rabbi Chiya, then that which b'nei Rabbi Chiya said yesterday in the end of the shir, that gadume tcheles kesherim, the gadume ezov kesherim, that they said that chopped off tzitzis, if you have chopped off tzitzis, it's still going to be kosher. That's going to be an impossibility. Because kiven de ishtere leiloi. Because as soon as you say you have chopped off tzitzis, that means that the knot at the end of the gedil is going to begin to unravel, and then the entire gedil will unravel because there's not going to be any other knots to stop the unraveling of the gedil, and you'll end up having just tzitzis hanging from the konaf strings, but you'll have no gedil at all. Because once you chop off the tzitzis, the strings are chopped off, then the knot at the bottom of the gedil is also going to unravel, and the entire gedil is going to unravel. Ish terele, cooler than the entire gedil will be unraveled, and you have no gedil, and without gedil you have no tzitzis. And since the Bnei Rabbi Chiya say that gadume tzitzis, gadume de cheles is kosher, it must be that there still remained a gedil. How does the gedil remain? Because there are other kesharim also in the gedil, aside from that one kesher, the end of the gedil. Now, the Rishonim immediately point out, how do you have a raya over here that you have to make a kesher after every single chulya? All you have a raya from here is that you have to make additional kesherim besides the one kesher at the bottom of the gedil, so that the unraveling will stop somewhere along the middle, but you still have a gedil left. However, you have no raya that you have to make a kesher kol chulya chulya, and they say in a chnami that Rava never meant to say that we have a raya, real raya from here that you have a kesher after every chulya, but he means to say that you have a raya from here that you have to make a kesher somewhere inside the gedil, an additional kesher besides the kesher which is at the bottom of the gedil. Now, interestingly enough, the Gemara calls the kesher at the bottom of the gedil the kesher eloi, the kesher elyon. The reason for that, Rashi explains, is because since we're looking at the whole tzitzis like a gedil and an onuf, like a tree trunk with the branches, so you must think of it as an inverted tree. So if you turn the tree around, the bottom knot, the very last knot after the gedil, becomes the upper knot, and you turn it around. Therefore, the Gemara calls it kesher elyon. Now, Rava's statement has to be examined here for a moment, because if you remember yesterday's Gemara, the Gemara concluded that Baram Duri, in the name of Shmuel, said that din of Bnei Rabbi Chiya, who says that gadum Tchilis is kosher, that's dafke when there is left over after the chopped tzitzis was chopped off, there still is kedei aniva of the strings, that there are strings left over, kedei aniva are long enough to make an aniva. Now, if that's the case, where does Rav assume, how does Rav assume that this is all going to unravel unless there's a kesher in the middle of the gedil? The truth of the matter is that it doesn't have to be a kesher in the middle of the gedil and still wouldn't unravel because you have the kedei aniva and it won't unravel. So the Rishonim answered that Rashi had a girsa that we don't have in our Rashi, but Tosfos and the Shita Mekubetzes bring it, that Rashi had a girsa that Rava did not hold of the din of kedei aniva. In other words, Rava says that from the din of the Nei Reb Chiya, we learn this halacha that you need a kesher somewhere else in the gedil. That's only because that Rava did not hold of the halacha that you need a kedei aniva. That Rava did not believe, as Baram Dumi said in the name of Shmuel, that in order for the Gadume Tchelis to be kosher, that Bnei Abchiyas din of Bnei Gadume Tchelis is kosher, that's dafke when there is a leftover piece of chutim, the shear of kedei aniva. He doesn't hold from that. He argues on that point that you don't need kedei aniva. Since you don't need kedei aniva, that's why Rava is saying this halacha. Since you're going to be able to chop it up right at the kesher elyon, right at the very last kesher of the gedil, and once you chop it off right there, certainly the kesher is going to unravel because you have no strings that protruding from that kesher to hold it, and therefore it's going to unravel the entire gedil unless you have another kesher along the gedil before it unravels all the way down to the konav. However, Tosfos says that Rava really never was about plukta of Baram Duri in name of Shmuel, who explained the Bnei Abchiyas din with a kedei aniva. That everybody is masking that you need kedei aniva. But what is kedei aniva? Where is the kedei aniva? Tosfos says the kedei aniva never was meant to be in the chutim, that you have the chutim which extend beyond the gedil. There you have to have a kedei aniva. The kedei aniva was always in the gedil itself. In other words, a very big kula. He says that the gadu itchelis is kosher, providing that you have a kedei aniva, meaning that where you chopped it off in the middle of the gedil, you still have from the gedil to the corner of the beged a sufficient amount to make an aniva. You don't have to have any strings, any chutim, anything of the onof left at all. All you need left is that the gedil should be a sufficient amount of the gedil to make an aniva. So here we can understand very well where Rava comes to tell us that we have a raya from here that gedil must have other kesherim besides the last kesher. Because if you chop the gedil in the middle, that's above the kesher, of course the whole gedil is going to unravel unless there's another kesher in there. It's going to stop the unraveling of the gedil. Now, Loch Alamais in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber brings both shitas. He brings shitas Rashi, who says that kedei aniva is mina onof, means from the strings you have to have, and he also brings the shita sari of Tosfos that the kedei aniva is only in the gedil. And the chatchili says the mina galolim is like Rashi, however the yevid you can be samech on the ri. The Gemara now continues with the teretz and daf lamed tes. Answers the Gemara, no, deal with the ikta. You rather wanted to bring a raya from the Rebbe Rav Chiya that you must make a kesher a kolchu v'chuya, or even as the Rishonim explained that you must make at least one additional kesher in the gedil, because otherwise how could the Rebbe Rav Chiya say the gadum etcheles is kosher, it's going to unravel the entire gedil? The answer is no. We're talking about a case, the Rebbe Rav Chiya talking about a case where you did make a kesher, where it happened to be there was another kesher in the gedil, and therefore the whole gedil didn't unravel, and therefore gadum etcheles is kosher. But there's no raya from the din of the Rebbe Rav Chiya that gadum etcheles is kosher in the case where you made a kesher in the gedil, so it shouldn't unravel. There's no raya from that you have to make a kesher in the gedil. Could be if you made a kesher in the gedil, then you have gadum etcheles. In that case, there's a din of gadum etcheles. But there's no raya that you are mechuyev to make a kesher al kolchu v'chuyev. Shmamino, from that which the Torah has revealed to us about the mitzvah sittis, we can infer that kesher elyon, that the upper kesher, Rashi explains that would be the kesher that holds up the whole gedil. Other Rishonim explains that this is the kesher elyon, meaning the kesher right after the konav, the first kesher. Rashi himself says lav davke that it means the kesher after the gedil. It means any kesher, one kesher, at least one kesher in the tying of the tzitzis onto the konav must be the araisa. Because Isal Kadai the Rabbonin, because if making a kesher, tying the tzitzis onto the konav is only the Rabbonin, my Yisrael Nishul Sadim Tzitzis, why does the Torah have to tell me that Shatnis is permitted with tzitzis. We know that the Gemara in Yevamah tells us that. Gedilim tasa l'cha is placed next to the pasuk l'sil b'shatnis to tell me that esedach alezi said that you can wear tzitzis even though that it's shatnis. If the tying of the knot on the tzitzis is only midrabanon, why did the Torah have to permit shatnis b'tzitzis? Pshita atekiv techifa achas ein echibu. If somebody ties a knot on the wool in a garment of linen, it's not considered a chibur, an attachment of klayim, because one stitch is not a chibur. Therefore, you do not violate any prohibition of shatnes by placing strings of wool into a garment of linen. And therefore, why does the Torah have to permit shatnes with tzitzis? Elamai, must we say, Elishmami no deraisa. It must be that tying a knot, meaning not one stitch, but a double knot, this is going to be a chiyuv deraisa in order to fulfill the mitzvah tzitzis. You have to tie the strings onto the beged with a knot, and that would constitute a beged of shatnes because you have the tzemer and the pishtim tied together with a knot. Therefore, the Torah had to permit shatnes with tzitzis. Gemara continues. Omar Rabo bar Ravado, Omar Ravado, Omar Rav. Im nivsa kachut meikor psula. That even though we've said now that gadume trelis is kosher, that chopped off tzitzis is going to be kosher, but there is a case where chopped off tzitzis would render the whole tzitzis possible. What is that case? Im nivsa kachut meikor. That if the string which is threaded through the hole of the corner of the beged were snipped off at the place where it's connected to the beged, not down under the corner, but right there where it's in the corner, where it's mechubet to the talis, mi'ikara, then it's going to be possible. That means even though that the chut is still wound into the tzitzis, it's still very much a part of the tzitzis, but since it's detached at its source, then it's going to be possible. Yosef Rav Nachman ko'omer lahoshmaitze. Rav Nachman said over this memre in front of Rav. Eser Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav has a kasha on Rav Nachman concerning this memre from a braise. It says in the braise, when do we say this halacha which we're going to learn later in Daf Memrao from the base? Kamo tehemu shushelis. The Gemara is going to talk about how long do the tzitzis have to be. What is the shiur tzitzis? That we have a shir tzitzis, a certain length of tzitzis, bitchilosa, that's at the beginning. That means that's lechatchila when you put the tzitzis in. But at the end, if they became diminished because they were chopped off, they lost their length, then shiorov v'gardumov kolshu. Then what's left over and what's chopped off is kolshu, any amount is kosher. Now the Gemara is going to examine this statement. My shiorov u'my gardumov. What does it mean when it says two things? Shor of that which is left over, the gardumov, and that which is chopped off is going to be the kosher. My love, doesn't it mean? Shor of means that which is left over means a case where the ifsik minayu, the ishtayr minayu, that there was some which was separated from this strings of tzitzis. The ifsik minayu, there was some cut off, but the ishtayr minayu, but there's some left. Means chopped off tzitzis with some tzitzis left still attached to the beged. And what is gardumov? Gardumov means the igardumi gardumi, that it was chopped off, snipped off from its source entirely. So it would seem stated in this braisa that even if it's chopped off from its source entirely, still if it's mechuber to the strings of the tzitzis, by the fact that it's wound in with the other tzitzis, it's still going to be kosher. So it's a kasha on Rav's din that nifsa chut mikor is basal. So he answers, no, that's not the pshat in the braisa. When it says shiuruv v'gardumov, it doesn't mean shiuruv is one thing and gardumov is another thing, but it means all one thing. Shiure gardumov, that which is left over from the chopping of kol shuhu, is going to be sufficient with a kol shuhu, with a minimal amount. But it doesn't mean we're talking about a case where the string was actually snipped in its source in the corner of the beged. Says the Gemara, so why does the Brice have to use such a strange lashon? Shiure gardumov, b'leima gardumov, that which is chopped off, knowing, understanding that chopped off means part of it is chopped off, something is left. Shiurov lomeli, what do you need the word shiurov, that which is left over? Gardumov implies that part of it is chopped off, the strings left over. Answers the Gemara, because the word shiurov has to be translated different. Kamash malon de be'inan shiurov legardumov. There is a shiur, there is a measurement that is required for gardume trelis to be kosher. What is that measurement? Kedei la'anvam. Sheyurei gardumov is kol shehu. That means the measurement of the chopped off tzitzis is a kol shehu. How much is a kol shehu? The Gemara says that the kol shehu is that which has a shear of kedei aniva. That amount which could still be allow it to be tied into a bow. And the Braisa never referred to the case where it was nifsak me'ikoro, where it was snipped off in the corner of the beged, in the hole where it is attached to the beged, above the gedil. Only we're talking about the chutim that are a part of the gedil, but not those chutim which are still above the gedil in their attachment to the konav. Over there, it is true that it is nisak meikoro, it's going to be possible.
And so
continues, Yosef Rab overcomes Shmeda Rav. Rav says, Aloch in the name of Rav. Chut shel kerech olam in a minyan. That we know that we have to put four chutim in each of the four corners of the beged, and these chutim are doubled into eight. And one of these chutim is left especially long so that it is used to wind around and to create the gedil. One chut is creating the gedil by winding it around the other. That's called chut shel kerech. The winding string is to be included in the minyan of chutim that you need. Later on, the Gemara is going to tell us that we learn out of a pasuk, gedil, gedilim, that you need four chutim, that the chut shel kerech, that chut which is used to wind around the others, can be counted among the four. You don't need four plus one winding chut. Amalei Rav Yosef, said Rav Yosef to Rabbi, Shmuel amro, v'loi Rav. You got it wrong. Rav never said this halacha. Shmuel said this halacha. Itmanami, I'll bring you a ray also from the memory that Rabbi bar Rav Chona said, Sochli Rabbeishya di Manusha, Rabbeishya Manusha told me, and the Girsi on the side is Mishmei de Shmuel. He said in the name of Shmuel that Chut Shel Kerech, the winding string, is only a minion, can be counted into the four chutim that are required for tzitzis. Now the question obviously is, very good, we have a ray that Shmuel said this. But who said Rav did not say it? How could Rav Yosef say so certain that Shmuel amro v'loi Rav, and Rav didn't say it? We'll answer that in a moment. First, the Gemara is going to bring an halacha which is said in the opposite name. Yosef Rav, now Rav said, v'ko'omar mishmei to Shmuel. He said halacha in the name of Shmuel and not in the name of Rav. What did he say? Trelis shekorach rubo kesheira. Trelis means tzitzis, as we said before many times in this perek. Trelis is going to refer to the whole tzitzis. The din is, the Gemara is going to tell us in a few lines from here that you're supposed to make the tzitzis in the following way. Shlish gedil, one third of it is the gedil, the coiled and the ties and the knots, and then two thirds, the shnei shlish onof, and the branches, the strings, the free-flowing strings, they are two-thirds of the entire tzitzis from beginning to end. Constructed one-third of gedil, two-thirds of onof. But suppose somebody made it differently. That means you wound around most of the tzitzis. Let's say two-thirds of the tzitzis, you made it with the winding strings, you made a gedil out of it. And only one-third was left over as the onof, it's still kosher. That was said in the name of Shmuel. Omar Lei Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said to him exactly the opposite of what he said to him before. That no, Rav said this halacha, v'lo Shmuel. You got it turned around. Exactly the opposite of before. Before it was Shmuel said the halacha, not Rav. Now I'm telling you, this halacha was said in the name of Rav and not in the name of Shmuel. Itmonami, I'll bring a ray also. Omar Rav Huna bar Yehuda. Omar Rav Sheshes. Omar Rav Yirmiyo bar Rav. Omar Rav. Rav says the chayla shekara ruba kasheira, that if most of the tzitzis was made into the gedil, two thirds gedil, it's still going to be kosher. Now, of course, the obvious question in this gemara is true that Rav Yosef is always pointing out to Rabba that the other one said it. But how does he know that in the first halacha of chut shel kerech olam minyan the Rav did not say it and was only Shmuel? And how did he know in the din chayla shekara ruba that it's only Rav's din and not Shmuel? All the achronim struggle with this question. I would like to convey the teres that was given by the Keren Eira says that later on in Omid Beis we find a machlokes between Rav and the Rabba bar Rav Chona, the resolution of the problem that the Torah refers to tzitzis in contradictory terms. One time it refers to the tzitzis gedilim, tasa l'chok, gedilim, which means mashma that the strings are woven together, are growing together, and then you find the word psil, which means a free-flowing string. So how do you explain that? So Rabbi Rav Chona explains that it means a gedil o psil. That means you really have a choice when you want to make tzitzis, how to make it. You can make it entirely Gedil. That means make the entire tzitzis out of just kishorim and chulius, the whole thing without any free-flowing tzitzis at the end. Or you can make it seal. That means only tzitzis without any gedil altogether. He holds out, I'm going to hold that you don't need gedil altogether. That gedil is one of the options. You may make it entirely out of gedil, or you may make it entirely out of seal. However, Rav learns not like that. He learns that you need a combination of a gedil and seal. And the fact that it says gedilim is l'minyona. So it comes to tell me that there is a certain minion, a number of tzitzis that you need for a gedil. That it has to be four. Gedil is two, gedilim is four. You now have to have four chutim for gedil. So it would be mashma, therefore, if Rav holds that you need four chutim for gedil, that the chut shel kerech, therefore, cannot be min haminyan. Because the chut shel kerech winds on top of the gedil. There are four chutim that come through, and one chut should wrap around those other four chutim. But if one of the four is going to be used for wrapping the other three, then you don't have your gedil made out of four. The gedil are the vertical chutim that come down, which are wrapped around by chut shel kerech. But if you have one of those four being used for the wrapping around, you don't have the four chutim in the gedil. So since Rav is the one who says gedilim l'minyona, you need the gedilim to tell me that you need four chutim for the minion of chutim in the gedil. So it would be mashma that Rav can't be the one who's going to hold that chut shel kerech ole min haminyan. And therefore, when we find this member in the name of Shmuel, it must be only Shmuel who said it and not Rav. And who does Shmuel hold like? Shmuel is going to hold like Abba Bar Chana, who learns that gedilim is not used for a minion. You don't have a prescribed amount until it requires for a gedil. Therefore, you can say chut shel kerech olam a minion. Chachomim gave us a shir, but it's lav davke that the chut shel kerech has to be in addition to the four, but it can be min ha minion. So now that we have established that Shmuel is the one who holds, like Rabba Bar Abchona, that it's ogedil obsil, that you can make the whole tzitzis out of the gedilim, you don't have to have any onuf at all. So therefore, when Rabba said, in the name of Shmuel, that he holds that tchedesh shekora rubok shecha, that tzitzis that you have, the majority of that tzitzis made into a gedil, it's kosher. So Rav Yosef said to him, no, Shmuel could never have said that. Only Rav could have said that. Because according to Shmuel, you can make the entire tzitzis. Not ruba, but kula can be made into gedil. Because Shmuel holds like Abba Bar Abchana, who holds that the whole thing can be made into gedil. So therefore the din, atchel shekora ruba, kuksheira, must be only Rav, says Rav Yosef to Rabba. Rav amor velo Shmuel. Because according to Rav, you need gedil and psil. El chadchila, you should have one-third gedil and two-thirds psil. However, b'dievet, chela shekor haruba, where two-thirds were made out of gedil and only one-third was psil, then Rav would be made, that would be kosher. And that could be very consistent with what Rav holds. The Gemara now continues and says this halacha from Rav over again. Once more, with additional halachas. Rav Nosson mas nehochet. Rav Nosson says that this is the way that halacha should be said over the name of Rav. That Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav Sheishis, Omer Rav Yirmi, Omer Rav, Omer Rav. That chela shekora rubo kesheira. That's the first halacha. That if the tzitzis were made, the majority of the tzitzis were made into gedil, it's kosher. However, on the other side of the coin, the other extreme is that while it can be kosher, but it could be kosher with much less than the required amount of the lachatchila of one-third gedil. Even if the gedil consisted of no more than one chulia, one link, one joint of these krichos, of the thread which was wound around, even only one chulia, it's going to be kosher. The Neutrelis, then the halacha is told to us, what is the chatchila, the mitzvah of tzitzis? Neutrelis means the chatchila, to make beautiful mitzvahs in the spirit of Zekeli van Vehu. Shlish gedil, there should be one-third gedil, the shnei shlish onof, as we mentioned already, and two-thirds of the strings hanging out beyond the gedil area. Now, the kamashir chulia, and what is indeed the measurement of one chulia? Tanya, we learned in the Braise, Rebbe Yomer, Kedei Sheyichach, you should wind it around once, the Yishne, and a second time, the Yishalesh, and a third time. In other words, three krichos, three wrappings around the vertical strings of the Gedil, by the Chuchel Kricho, three times, consists of one Chulya, and that is the minimum amount in order to constitute a gedil. So in order to make a gedil, if we hold, as we hold, that we have to have gedil in addition to the psil, then we have to have the minimum amount of one chulia, which consists of three krichas. Now, this is the requirement, midaraisa. In order to have tzitzis, you must have a gedil, and this is the minimum gedil. Then the Gemara brings a braisa and says as follows, Tan, ha-perches, if you wish to make the minimum amount of chulyas, lo yifchas misheva, don't make less than 7 chulyas. 7 chulyas means each chulyas consisting of 3 krichas. Amosif, and if you wish to place the maximum amount of chulyas, lo yosef al shlosh esrei, don't make any more than 13 chulyas. Ha-poches lo yifras misheva. One who wishes to make the least amount should not make less than 7. Why? Because this is keneged shiva rikim. This corresponds to the 7 rikim that Rabbeinu Shlomo made in his world. Now Moses, he wishes to maximize the number of chulyas that can be made. Lo yosef al shlosh esrei, not more than 13. Why 13? Keneged shiva rikim. 7 rikim, the shisha avirim shebeneim, and 6 spaces in between them. Now, Rashi and also Tosfos point out that this amount of minimum of 7 and not more than 13 is only true in the time when they use techeles, because the whole purpose of these numbers, keneged sheva rikim and the shisha avirim, has to do with the fact that the Gemara later on tells us that the color techeles is supposed to be reminding us of the Rabbeinu Shalom, because techeles is dem leyam. Chelis is similar to the ocean, and the ocean is Domele Hakia, to the sky, and the sky reminds us of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and therefore the number of chulyos on the tzitzis is also to correspond to the inyan that the Rabbeinu Shalom is Lamaila Meshiva Hakim, and so forth. But this man has it that we don't have to Chelis. We don't have to be makbid in all of this in making a certain number of chulyos, and not more and not less. All this doesn't apply to us. However, Tosfos brings one perish at the end, that the Gemara that says, "Aperos lo yifchos misheva v'amosif lo yosef al shlosh esrei," refers not to chulyos, not to the number of chulyos, but rather it refers to the number of krichos in each chulya. That there should never be a chulya with less than 7, and never a chulya with more than 13. And that is precisely the way we are noig b'zman hazeh, that we make 4 chulyos and 5 kishorim, and the first chulya is 7 krichos. And the second chulya is 8 krichos, and the third chulya is 11 krichos, and the fourth chulya is 13 krichos. And that's what the Gemara means. Aperos lo yifras misheva, v'amosif lo yosef al shlosh esrei. And the Gemara says further, Tana, kishu maschil, when he starts to make the krichos on the first chulya, maschil b'lovan, he starts with the non-cheles chut shel kerech. In other words, a chut shel kerech that was there for the purpose of making krichos. Why do we start with the white? Because it says, hakonof, it's min konof. That the first thing that you have to wrap around, the first tzitzis that you have to deal with is hakonof. On that you put a psil tcheles. Okay, shehu mesayim. And when he completes all the krichas at the very end before the last kesha, mesayim beloven, he also ends with the loven and not with the tcheles. Why? Because malin bekodesh v'lo merid. Since the Torah told me that the ikat tzitzis is the loven, and if you would end with the tcheles and not with the loven, it would be degrading for the loven, for the non-tcheles. And it says, malin bekodesh v'lo marid. Since you started with the loven, that was because it was more choshuv. It's the ikatzitzis. You should end with it also, because of malin bekodesh. Now Rashi explains this as follows, that we're talking about whether it's tcheles. You have 2 chutim of loven and 2 chutim of tcheles. Doubled over, you have 4 chutim of loven and 4 chutim of tcheles. 1 chut of the loven is used as the chut shel kerech, the chut that is used for winding around, and 1 chut of the tcheles is also used for the purpose of winding around. So you start off winding with the chut of lovan, and then after you made 1 kricha, 1 ring of lovan, then you make the subsequent krichas all out of the tcheles, and then finally at the very end, at the end of the last chulya, you go back to the lovan. But nowadays, say the Rishonim that we don't have tcheles, so we don't have to make the krichas from both loven and tcheles. We only make it from the loven, and we don't have to be makbid to make 7 chulyas or 13 chulyas. However, Rashi and Tosfos both bring that the zman hazeh were noeg to make 5 kishorim, 5 knots that are spread between 4 chulyas. And the reason we made 5 kshorim, says Rashi and Tosfos, because kula mitzvah tzitzis kechol ha-terah kula. And we do something in the tzitzis that reminds of this, of that. We make two kesharim lemala. That means we make a kesher, what we call today kesher elyon, the kesher right next to the kanaf. We then make one chulia of seven. We make another kesher, which is followed by three more chulias, each one of which has its own kesher underneath it. And the five ksharim together with the eight strings, total to a number of 13, combine the 13 with the gematria of tzitzis, which is 600, you have taryag. Tosis, however, asks, that happens to be that every time it says tzitzis at the parsha, we always are missing the yud. It's written chosa. So you really don't have 600, you only have 580. And so Tosis, there's a posik, v'hoyo lochem letzitzis. There's a posik letzitzis, which consists of lamid, which is 30. So the 30, together with the tzitzis, even though it's chosa, makes 610. To that we add three times that the word tzitzis is written, not the gematria of tzitzis, but three times the word tzitzis is written, it makes 613. Tosis, however, and the Rishonim also say, however, that which we do today with four chulias and five ksharim, even though that is our minig, and so is Noeg Rabbeinu Tam, but there is no mokke in Shas for such a minig. Our Gemara only talks about seven chulias or 13 chulias has to do with Shevar Hakim, but that's only at the time when there were Noeg Betchelis. Gemara continues, Rav, Rabba Bar Chone. Rav and Rabba Bar Chone, have a Yasve, they were sitting, have a Kocholi for Ozil, someone passed by, Hahu Gavra, a man, the Mikse Glimi, the Kulit Chelta, a man passed by, was wearing a garment of Kulit Chelis, a beged, which was Kulit Chelis, pure Chelis wool, the Romile Chilta, and he was wearing Tzitzis, Chilta again means Tzitzis, not Chelis here, the Gedela Migdal, and that tzitzis, the entire tzitzis was made into one gedil. That means there was no seal, there was no onof, there were no free strings, but just the ksharim and the chulias all the way through, as we mentioned earlier in the Gemara. Omar Rav said, Rav, yoi gelime v'lo yoi tchelte. That the man has a beautiful beged, but the tzitzis isn't very beautiful. In other words, Rav did not approve of the tzitzis which was made totally as gedil. Rabba Bar Chana said, Yoy glime, the garment, the beged is beautiful, the yoy telta, and the tzitzis is also beautiful. Ask the Gemara, b'mai k'miflige, what is the basis of their machlokes? Why did one approve of such tzitzis and the other didn't? And so the Gemara, Rabba Bar Avchon, and Sova, Rabba Bar Avchon, who approved of the tzitzis, he holds like this. We have a seeming contradiction in the Torah with regards to the description of what tzitzis is supposed to be. In Parshas Kisetze, it says, Gedilin Tasalacha. So, Ksiv Gedil. Gedil describes tzitzis as something that is like a growth. That means it is threads are woven together and procedurally made in a certain fashion as if they were woven together into one piece. Uksiv, and there's another pasuk, says, and by Midbom Parshas tzitzis and Shlach, Psil Techeles, that tzitzis has some description as a thread. There's a thread of tzitzis. So the tzitzis has to be viewed as something that is flowing like free strands. So what is it? Is it Gedil or is it Psil? So Rabbi Rav Chana says, what the Torah is trying to tell me is that you may indeed have a beged that is O Gedil, O Psil. You can have a beged that is totally Gedil, that doesn't have any free strings at all. O Psil, you have a beged that is totally Psil, it's also kosher. And he also agrees that you can have a beged that has both Psil and Gedil. In other words, the Torah accepts anything. Either it can be all a Gedil, or it can be all Psil, or a combination of both of them. However, what does Rav hold? Rav sov ala olam Psil v'inim. Rav says, no, the Torah's machbit, since it says Psil, you must have Psil. You cannot have tzitzis consisting of exclusive Gedil. You must have strings on every tzitzis. What does it say in the Torah Gedilim? If the Torah tells me Psil, I know that you have to have strings. Why does it say Gedilim? Leminyana huda osa. To teach me a certain number of strings that I must have in every tzitzis. Gedil ishnayim, Gedilim is arba. We learn from the word Gedilim that you need four strings which are coupled over and made into eight in order to be yotze mitzvah tzitzis. And what does it mean? When it says Gedilim and it also says Psil, it means make a Gedil and make Poslehu mitocho. that its seal should come out from it. Now, in this, these two words, you have a machlokes rishon in what this means. Rashi learns two perushim. One perush is pasle mitocha means that that seal which is going to be wound around the others is a part of the minion of the four. Now we need four, but asay gedil, make a gedil, uposle mitocha. But that chut, which is used for the winding around in the construction of the gedil, is to be counted among the four chutim that the Torah requires. The second perish that Rashi brings is that pasleu mitocha means that pasleu, the seal, the strings, the tzitzis that come out of the gedil should be mitocha from it. That means it should fall out under it. To teach me the halacha that the seal has to be on the bottom underneath the gedil. Because by right you might say that perhaps the seal, the strings, the loose strings should be on top, coming out of the konef, and the gedil is made at the lower part. So he says, no. I say gedil uposleu mitocha, out of the gedil should fall the seal. Tosfos learns an additional pshat. Another uposleu mitocha is to explain like the Russian psila, petila, which is a wick. That means a wick which is double. From here we learned that the tzitzis strings, the four of them, after they're put into the beggar, they have to be doubled over and made like a psila, a wick. And that is what we're being told over here, that it's to be doubled. The Gemara now continues and we'll discuss the question of what material may be used for the fulfillment of the mitzvah of tzitzis. What does the tzitzis have to be made out of? Omar Shmuel Mishmed Levi. Chutei tzemer potra mishol pishta. Strings of tzema, that means the tzitzis consist of two lavan and two tchelis. Now the tchelis we know is blue dyed, purple dyed wool. Must be wool. Tchelis amro, the Gemara says. That's wool. And of course that is always going to be placed into any garment that you wear. And if it's a garment of flax, a garment of linen, of pishton, you're allowed to do it. And that's the heta that the Torah gives us by making the psukim of Gdilim Tasalacha next to the pasuk of the silver shatnes to tell me the heta of Esther Dechaloseh, that an essay, a mitzvah of tzitzis is going to be Dechaloseh of shatnes. And you're allowed to do that. The question is, what about the two strings that you're putting in, not for tchelis, but the two non-tchelis strings? Can they also be made out of wool? After all, the garment is linen, and the tchelis must be placed into the linen because that's the mitzvah of tchelis. But what about the lovan, the white strings, the non-tchelis strings, do not have to be wool. In fact, preferably, we said till now that they should be min konaf, the same species as the konaf, which would mean that they should be also linen, and you wouldn't be adding any sharpness to this garment. Because you have the garment made out of linen and strings made out of linen, and it's only the tchelis that has to be a wool that is placed in it, but otherwise the other strings, well, you might say, should be linen. Says Shmuel in the name of Levi, no. Chutei tzema potrim b'shol pishtan. That even the strings that you place into the beged that are the lovan, that are the non-tchelis strings, they may also be wool. And the reason for this is understandable. Pashtus, because once the Torah is matir, this beged, b'shatnes, and you have strings of wool in a garment of linen, it's already a beged shatnes, so you can't make it more beged shatnes by adding strings of tzemer in it, and since it's already beged shatnes and the Torah permits this beged shatnes, so you're allowed to add even the chutei lovan of tzemer also. Iboilu our, this is a shaila, kelpishon, strings of linen, ma'u sheyiftru b'shol tzemer. Could they be used in a garment of wool? After when you have a garment of wool, the trellis is also wool, you have no shot. The question is now, can I put the lavan made out of linen in this garment of wool? Since I don't have to do that, since I could put the lavan also made out of wool, and I will have the lavan made out of wool, the trellis made out of wool, and the garment is made out of wool, I have no shot. Is there any heter for me to do that? What's the shaila? Here's the question. The Gemara is going to explain. Tzemer shel pishtim, placing strings of wool, a loven of tzemer, into a garment of pishtim of linen, who the potter, that you're allowed to do, and that's acceptable. Why? The kiven de tchelis potra, since in a garment of pishtim, in a garment of of linen. The Torah requires to put chelis, to put strings of wool. That in such a garment I'm going to have shatness anyhow, so lavan nami pata, therefore I can put the lavan also of wool, even though I don't have to put lavan of wool. However, this garment is going to be a garment of shatness anyhow, so I can place the lavan of wool also. However, if I have lavan of pishtim, linen strings, and I want to put them into a woolen garment, I shall say no, because here I don't have to do it. I could easily put strings, lavan of tzemer, in a garment of tzemer, with the kindness of tzemer, and have no shat. O dimu, shall I say no? Kivin dichsiv, since the Torah says, l'sul b'shatness, you shouldn't wear shatness, tzemer pishtim yachtav. And right next to that it says, gedilim tasa l'chol, that you're supposed to make mitzvah tzisis. So lo shno tzemer b'pishtim, lo shno pishtim b'tzemer. So I will make no difference whether the tzitzis are made out of wool being placed in a linen garment, which I certainly must, because there in such a situation we have a beged of linen. I'm going to have a beged of shatness since I have to put chelis in, so I can put the lovin' in also. So lo shno pishtim b'tzemer. Make no difference, even if it's a situation where the garment is going to be a garment of tzemer, and I could fulfill the mitzvah of tcheles and tzitzis without violating the issur of klaim. Nevertheless, I'm going to have to, because the Torah was maskia the mitzvah of tzitzis from the whole issur of klaim. However, we must make very clear right here, right away, as we are medayik in Rashi and also in Tosfos, the Shita Mekubetzes, and the Gemara in Tosfos, and the Yevamos Daf Mem, and in the Rambam, that this is only going to be true when we are going to be matil tcheles in the tzitzis, when we're going to be using tcheles. Because when I'm going to fulfill the mitzvah of tcheles, and I'm wearing a beged of linen, it is impossible to fulfill that mitzvah without uprooting the mitzvah of klaim. Therefore, we can say the Torah was matir the Issa klaim as far as tzitzis is concerned when I'm going to wear tcheles. So even if I'm not wearing the tcheles in a garment of linen, but even if I'm going to wear a tcheles in a garment of wool, I can also place the lavan of pishtan of linen strings into that garment of wool, because the Torah was oikah the whole din of klaim when it comes to fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis with tcheles. However, if I'm not going to fulfill the mitzvah of tcheles, then we don't say this klal of loshna tzemer pishtim, loshna pishtim betzemer. But we'll say the klal of Reish Lakish that we're going to learn tomorrow on Daf Mem, that when there is a possibility to be mekayim shneim, we don't say the klal of eser derechos said. Since it is possible to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis without violating the iser of klaim, we should do it that way. We will not be matir the lavan of pishtim in a beggar of tzemer. Only if we're going to be using tcheles together, then we can do it. However, this was the shaila, and the Gemara says that this indeed is the conclusion. Toshma domarach ba'omer Rav Yehuda, hutei tzemer. If you have woolen strings, potrim b'shel pishtam, you may put them into a garment of pishtan if you're going to wear tcheles with that garment. That's easily understood. However, it even says further, the shel pishtan, if you're going to have linen strings of lavan, potrim b'shel tzemer, you may put them into a garment of wool, even though that garment of wool could have had its tzitzis fulfilled without violating the issur of klaim. But since we are now placing chutim also of tcheles in this, and with the mitzvah of tcheles, the Torah was oikah the whole din of klaim, therefore I'd be allowed to put strings of pishtan in a beged of tzemer, even though that otherwise there would be no klaim here altogether. Much more, says Rav Yehuda, that even chutei tzemer upishtim, strings of tzemer of tcheles, and pishtim of lavan, which is shatness in the strings itself, that will potrim b'chol mokom, v'afil b'shiroim, that even if I had a garment, let's say, of silk, which is neither tzemer, neither wool, nor linen, and it's not klai mitzad the beget, it's only klai mitzad the tzitzis themselves, since half is treles wool, and the other half is lavan of pishtim, nevertheless, it's going to be mutter, since I have treles. With treles, the whole parsha of klaim is eliminated, and I'm allowed to place tzitzis, which are themselves klaim, shatness, on a beged such as a silk. In other words, where the whole shatness is only constituted in the chutei tzitzis themselves. That's also mutter. And in this last halacha lies even a bigger chiddush, because what we're saying over here is that shiraim, a beged made of silk, is actually chayiv, obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis midaraisa. If it were not obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis midaraisa, If a beggar of silk of Shiroim were only chayiv midrabanan, then you would not be allowed to place tzitzis which were shatnis into such a beggar. Because since the chayiv of tzitzis is only drabanan, there is no heter that the rabbanan can give us to wear shatnis. However, if the chayiv of tzitzis is a deraisa, then the Torah tells us directly that in the performance of the tzitzis, of mitzvah of tzitzis together with the tcheles, I'm allowed to uproot the din, to violate the din of shatnis. But that's providing that the chayiv of this obligation of this beggar is deraisa. But if the beggar would only be the Rabbonin, I wouldn't be allowed to put tzitzis which are shatnis. However, says the Gemara, Pligat Rav Nachman, and Rav Yehuda, who permits placing strings of shatnis into a garment such as silk, is quarreling with Rav Nachman. Om Rav Nachman, Ashiroin Peturim in Atzitzis. That Shiroim silk garments are actually excluded from the mitzvah of tzitzis minatecha. And therefore you would not be allowed to place tzitzis which are shatnis. Because there's no heter for placing shatnis in a garment which is chayiv in tzitzis only with the rabbanim. Because the whole heter of the Torah to wear shatnis is only in a garment that I'm mechuyev to put tzitzis on. But if mitnarais, I'm not mechuyev to put tzitzis on, I'm not allowed to place that tzitzis which is shatnis into that garment, even though there's a chayiv de rabbanim. Okay? The chachamim are not allowed to tell me to violate an issa d'arais. So Rav Nachman is now asking a question of Rav Nachman, who holds that garments other than wool and linen are really not chayiv in tzitzis derais, because it says in the Braisa Sashiroin, silk, va'kelach, va'sarikin. These are other forms of silk garments, which means garments not made out of tzemer, pishtim, wool, or linen. Kulin chayovim b'tzitzis, they are chayiv in tzitzis, and chayiv in tzitzis would mean chayiv midaraisa. So that would be a kasha on Rav Nachman who says Shiroim Peturim in Atzitzis. Answers the Gemara, there's no kasha in his Braisa, because the Braisa, when it says it's Chayiv Mitzitzis, only means Midrabon. It doesn't mean that it's Chayiv Mitzitzis Midraisa. So that concurs with Rav Nachman said that Silk Tzitzis is Potum in Atzitzis, because when he says Potum, he means Midraisa, and he's murdered that there's a Chayiv Drabonin. So when the Braisa says there's a Chayiv Tzitzis on silk, it also only means Drabon. Ask the Gemara, Hochi Eim Seif. If you say that when the Braisa says that silk is chayiv and tzitzis, that all means midrabanan, say the Sefer. It says in the Sefer of the Braisa, Lukulin, Semel, Pishtim, Paitumbo, and all garments, all of these garments, if you made the strings, the tzitzis, out of a combination of wool and linen, of shatnis, Paitumbo would be acceptable. You could use a tzitzis of shatnis in a garment other than Semel, Pishtim. In other words, all other garments, such as silk, would also have tzitzis of semer pishtim, which would be shatnis. So, iamid birshul madaraisa, if you're going to say that goes, those garments are chayiv and tzitzis daraisa, hainu de mishter buhu kalayim, that's why the Torah will permit kalayim. Hell, iamid rabbonot. But if you can say those garments are only chayiv and rabbonot, if you're going to say when it says shiraim, is chayiv and tzitzis only with rabbonot, hey, mishter buhu kalayim, how are you going to permit a tzitzis combined of tzemer and pishtim in a garment which is only chayiv midrabanan to put tzitzis in there in the first place? So it must be, when it says in the beraisa shiroin is chayiv b'tzitzis, it must mean it's chayiv deraisa. Answers the Gemara, no. You have to reread the sefer. Reread it differently. When the sefer says that v'kulon semer upishtim patrimbo, referring to of garments, non semer upishtim garments, in other words, garments such as silk, that tzitzis semer upishtim patrimbo, it's not to be read that semer together with pishtim could be used as tzitzis in a garment of silk, but ema o semer upishtim, either semer or pishtim, one or the other, may be used in a garment such as silk, but not the combination of the two, because the chiv is only the rabbon. So we have no kasha on Rav Nachman, who says that Shiroim is really potem in atzitzis derais. Says the Gemara further, Hachanami Mestaver, and is also Mestaver that the chiv is only the rabbon, because the Tani Sefer says in the Sefer, hey, those garments which are not tzemer upishtin, the other garments of other materials such as silk, beminon potrin, if you make tzitzis out of their own species, in other words, silk tzitzis, it would be kosher. But shaloba minon ein potrim. But if you take cotton or some other strings made out of other materials to be used for a garment which is of different material than the strings, it's not going to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. So iamid bishlam adrabonon, if you're going to say that those garments are only chayv derabonon, the silk is only derabonon, and the mishtra b'minon, That's why we can say that if you use a silk tzitzis, that you're going to be yotze with a silk garment. But if you're going to tell me that a silk garment is chayiv deraisa, for tzitzis deraisa, you need tzemer or pishtim or debota. Tzitzis must be made out of either tzemer or pishtim or a combination of the both. But you have to have tzemer and pishtim to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis deraisa. And we must say, elamai, that the chiyuv of shiroim of silk and non tzemer pishtim begodim is only derabonan. The answer is the Gemara, no. While I agree with you that you can explain this braisa, that when it says that shiraim is chayiv tzitzis could mean only the rabbanan and it's no kasher on Rav Nachman, nevertheless there's no hechech from the sefer that it must be chayiv only the rabbanan, because im shum holo irye ki the rove, like rove says, the rove rami ksif, rove asks the kasher of two opposing psukim. One psukim says hakonov, the Torah says v'nosnu al tzitzis hakonov sil techeres, which is mashma tzitzis that are coming out of this particular konof, whatever it might be. Mean konof. Whatever that konof is, the tzitzis which protrude should come from the same means, from the same species as the tzitzis itself. In other words, tzitzis of the same species as the garment would fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. Uksiv, and then again it said tzemel pishim, that tzitzis seems to have to be tzemel pishim. Gedilim tatzlecho, lasil b'shatne tzemel pishim yachtav. It's mashma that tzitzis has to be tzemel pishim. Okay, so how can it be? One pasuk says konof, min konof, mashma that tzitzis can be the min konof, whatever the konof is, whatever the garment is, the tzitzis will fulfill the mitzvah of that garment if it is made of the same material. And then it says tzemel pishim, that tzitzis have to be tzemel pishim. Okay, it's not going to be. So it says, well, we learn like this. It depends. Tzemel pishim, if you're using tzemel, wool, or linen, potim bein b'minon, ben shelo b'minon, they will be acceptable kosher tzitzis, both for garments made of wool and linen, and also for garments made of lo minon. That means other types of material, such as silk, cotton, canvas, and so forth. Chalminon, however, if you're going to be used tzitzis, which are not semer and pishtim, you're going to be used tzitzis of silk and cotton and so forth, then the minon potim, we can only use them for garments made out of the same min as the tzitzis. Kelobminon, garments made out of wool or linen, which is a different min than the tzitzis' min, then in potim they can't be used as tzitzis for such begotten. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that it could very well be that chalminon is also chayiv deraisa, the other begotten are also chayiv in tzitzis min ha-tera. However, the material that's used for tzitzis for such begotten has to be the same material that the beggar that is itself. However, if you wish to use tzemel pishtim, that may be used even with those other begotten. But if you wish to use material other than tzemel pishtim, besides tzemel pishtim, then you have to apply that only to a beggar of the similar material, such as silk to silk and cotton to cotton and so forth. But you may not use cotton for silk or silk for cotton and so forth. But what does Rav Nachman hold? Rav Nachman obviously holds that silk begodim and others not made of tzemer and pishtim and not chayiv in tzitzis deraisa altogether. How does he hold? Rav Nachman ketana debei Rabbi Shmuel. He holds like another tana. The tana debei Rabbi Shmuel hove nemer begodim beter. Since the Torah stipulates begodim, it says in the connection with the mitzvah of tzitzis, it says v'nosno tzitzis al kanfei bigdeihem. Put tzitzis on your garments. And it doesn't say what kind of garments. It says stam. And then upor l'chakos of be'echem ahem. But in one place, the Torah defines what we mean by beged. And it says semer u'pishtim. Where does it say that? It says in connection with negoyim. It says be'beged semer or be'beged pishtim. It says a beged means semer or pishtim. The only thing the Torah really recognizes as a beged is a beged of semer or pishtim. That's a beged deraisa. So therefore, I've called tzemer pishtim. Therefore, every beged, in order to be qualified as beged, has to be tzemer pishtim. And only those begotten would be considered begotten midaraisa to be chayiv tzitzis akanfe bigdehem. However, garments which are made of other materials outside of tzemer pishtim are not qualified as beged midaraisa, and will only be chayiv midrabon. Hayot midvarenu, we have a machlokes amroim, Rav and Rav Nachman, which begotten are chayiv in tzitzis deraisa. Rav holds all begotten are chayiv in tzitzis deraisa. Rav Nachman holds only begotten of tzemel pishtim chayiv deraisa. The Rambam and Rif paskin like Rav Nachman, and so paskin is the Mechav and Shulchan Aruch that ein chayiv in tzitzis min ha-tera el beged pishton, or shel tzemel, only linen and wool. However, the Ramah is in the name of Tosfos and the Rosh and the Smag and the Mordechai that the Hashemim the Kulachai of the Raisa. That we paskin like Rava, that all begodim are chayv midaraisa. However, the difference would be, of course, what kind of tzitzis you may place on begodim which are not semer and pishtim. But all begodim are chayv midaraisa. Let us conclude with one more piece of Gemara on Abaye. The high Tana de Berebi Yishmoel, mafkin idoch Tana de Berebi Yishmoel. That there's another Tana de Berebi Yishmoel which says, contrary to the Tana de Berebi Yishmoel which was brought by Rav Nachman, that says that only Beged Semer and Beged Tishin is considered Beged Midaraisa. Because the Tana de Berebi Yishmoel, Beged, Ainli Ela Beged Semer. When it says Beged, I would think it only means a Beged Semer. That means wool of the sheep. Minayim Rabbis Semer Gemalim. How do I know camel hair? Or Semer Amnovim or rabbit's hair? The notes of Shalizim or goat's hair? All silk materials, minayin, how do I know those? Hamaloma, O Beged. There's an extra pasuk, O Beged, which is coming to be Marwa, all begotten. So here we find the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, who says, like we said before, like Rova, that your Marwa, all begotten, be considered a Beged deraisa, and they would all be chayiv betzitzis mideraisa.